From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name is Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation. I'm speaking today with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the GDP figures came out today showing that Australia's economy had expanded 0.7% in the 3 months to June, and this was actually a much better outcome than many economists had predicted.
Today's national accounts confirm that the Australian economy has grown in the June quarter ahead of market expectations. The Australian economy is strong. The Australian economy's fundamentals are sound. The Australian economy is resilient. And the Australian economy will bounce back once restrictions are eased.
Presumably this is very good news for the government, especially as we head towards an election which is likely to be next year.
It is good news because some economists were in fact predicting that the economy could have gone backwards. If that had happened, we'd have been headed for a recession because we know that the next quarter, the September quarter, will be negative, and the Treasurer has conceded that. Now, while it is good news, we're not necessarily out of the woods yet, as they say, on the recession front, because the December quarter is still very much up in the air, and if that was negative plus September, then you'd have a technical recession. But still, there's considerable hope now that we might avoid a second recession.
Okay, and just turning to COVID for a minute, as we always seem to do these days, Victoria today announced a few very small easings of restrictions, but basically Dan Andrews has said that the state's going to stay in a strict lockdown until at least September 23rd, by which time he hopes we will have reached our 70% first vaccination rate. Meanwhile, in New South Wales, the numbers are still very high, and Gladys Berejiklian has basically conceded that she can't get back to COVID zero. While in WA, on the other side of the country, they are relatively COVID-free and obviously keen to stay that way. So we're all at a lot of different places, and there's a lot of confusion around now, isn't there, about keeping that balance between people staying safe but also not having us locked down for longer than is necessary.
It was a very important day today because Dan Andrews conceded that COVID zero is not going to be possible, that they can't eliminate the virus there in Victoria. And of course, that had been the aim, and he'd held out for quite a long time before this week, but now the numbers are just so bad that the inevitable was conceded. And I think that that will be seen as something of a turning point in this pandemic. You've now got the two large states, New South Wales and Victoria, saying that we have to live with the virus. Now, everyone says, and of course the federal government emphasises, we have to live safely with the virus. But in fact, what it's going to be about is living by minimising the risks of the virus. And that's really a very different thing from being safe with the virus. So there are very rocky times ahead, I think. In terms of the states that are trying to hold out to stay at or near COVID zero, I think there's a general recognition that they can't do that forever. Of course, they're under great pressure, Queensland and WA in particular, from the federal government to recognise that they've got to open their borders fairly soon when they get to higher vaccination rates. At the moment, they're reserving their positions, but they do, I think, understand that the transition's going to have to be made, even if it's at a much later point than the big states. So we're in for quite a difficult time.
Yes, and this idea about living with the virus, as we keep saying, it's not entirely clear what that means, is it? And different people may have very different ideas of exactly what that means.
Well, what we do know that it will mean is that we will have higher hospitalisation rates, and we will have some deaths, more deaths than at the moment. We will still maintain some restrictions, but nevertheless the economy would be largely open, and of course you would have travel between states and you would have international travel. But we will be living with a very nasty disease.
Yes, and a lot of the sort of political line at the moment that is being followed is quite emotive, isn't it? So the federal government's pushing for restrictions to be lifted. The states, particularly those without COVID or with very low COVID numbers, are reluctant to do so. But it's playing hard on people's anxieties and frustrations, isn't it?
I think that the community is at the moment in a particularly difficult position. It's frustrated, certainly in the big states, about these lockdowns. And many people have come to the end of their tether, really, trying to work from home, educate children from home, having all these restrictions on the normal things that they do in life, and they just want to be out of it. On the other hand, there's the knowledge, the recognition that, as I say, when we come out of it, and as we come out of it, especially in the transition period, there's going to be a lot of uncertainty about, and quite a lot more illness and pressure on the health system. And that's what governments are trying to grapple with at the moment. They're not always admitting it, but there's all sorts of work being done behind the scenes about how the health system is needing to be strengthened to cope with those months ahead.
All right, Michelle, great to talk to you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.